How much damage was done to the economy? Dimitri puts the question to Jeff Miron, senior lecturer in economics at Harvard and a senior fellow at the Cato Institute.
Well, I think the economic damage that was done directly because of the government shutdown or the negotiations has to be pretty small. After all, almost all the expenditure that was supposed to have been made had the government not been shut down is still going to be made. The employees are going to be paid. They'll get their salaries. They'll spend it on whatever they spend it on. So that seems like very small potatoes. The damage, I think, is much more the long-term issue that we have not done anything at all to really deal with the debt limit or to, in a significant way, deal with just the general operation of government. And we haven't dealt with the long-run entitlement problem. So all the really fundamental things are still to be resolved.
Now, Macroeconomic Advisors puts the figure at $12 billion in lost productivity. S&P estimates the cost twice as high at $24 billion in lost work. I don't know, maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle, but where are these outfits coming up with these tens of billions of dollars in lost work?
Well, I think they're partly saying that because of reductions in expenditure, you get a slowing through this mechanism of reduced demand. But to me, that was mainly just a shifting in time of when that was going to occur, and most of that will be made up again just within the fourth quarter. So I don't think that's going to be nearly as big as those estimates. They may be getting some additional effects from the uncertainty created by all these negotiations, et cetera, in causing people to just put things off and not plan and not go ahead with the normal business environment. And it's much harder to estimate those costs. So to the extent that they're relying on that, you know, they have a point. All of this uncertainty about policy generated by these debates is indeed bad for the economy.
Now, let's turn to the Federal Reserve, which for a while now has maintained its aggressive bond buying program. Do you believe that that's specifically because of these budget wars here in D.C., that it has no choice but to do that?
Well, I think that the budget wars have probably played some role in encouraging them to continue that aggressive monetary policy, but I'm pretty sure it would probably be going on anyway, because they are waiting for very clear signs that either GDP growth, the overall economy growth, has picked up significantly relative to the last several years, or more or less the same thing, that the labor market has improved significantly relative to recent history. And over, month after month, we get indications that both things are improving, but very slowly, and the Fed is not satisfied with that. And so I think the debt wars, the budget wars, are a small part of the issue. I think the main issue is the slow economy.
Last evening during our coverage of the congressional votes to reopen the government, I was asking political analysts whether the Tea Party has a point about the financial path that the country is on. You're an economist, perhaps in much better position to talk. Do you think they are waving the caution flag legitimately?
Well, yes and no. They're absolutely right to wave the caution flag. What's frustrating is that all of their concerns about Obamacare and its expensive aspects and the fact that it will contribute significantly to the debt path are valid, but they apply just as equally, and indeed much, much more so, because it's a bigger program, to Medicare. So if they were being consistent economists, they would say we should be thinking about slowing the growth of both Obamacare and Medicare. But of course, Medicare cuts don't play very well to their constituents, to anybody's constituents, really, on either side of the aisle. So by focusing only on Obamacare, they look as though they're being inconsistent, hypocritical, and unfortunately, I think they are. So that's the problem. They have a point, but they're not pushing it in a consistent way.
Let's finish up with what we can do now. Government reopening, we've got a couple months margin here. Not a lot of time, really, for this conference committee to work on anything. If somebody invited you here to Capitol Hill to try to help work on it, what would be your one piece of advice?
Well, I would certainly hope for a grand bargain in which we reform the tax system. We eliminate a lot of the tax loopholes, and we raise some revenue by eliminating tons of tax expenditure. And then we use that on the other side. We slow the growth of entitlements substantially, and we make other sensible changes in the tax code. And that really should be thought of as a win-win. But I'm afraid some parts of the Republican Party won't go along with anything that increases tax revenue, even if it's from eliminating stupid current features of the tax code.
And what about those entitlements? I mean, that's grandma and grandpa you're talking about there.
It is. And so it's very hard to see how you get it done politically. So we'll probably won't. It means we'll get it done in a very awkward, sort of crisis-laden way 10 or 20 or 30 years down the line.
Harvard economic professor Jeff Miron.